It's great to dance in church. I'm sorry Ricardo and Sandra are sick today. You guys tell them we sang that. You could open your Bibles, please, to Acts 2. That song is a preview of our lesson today, and we are celebrating our diversity. Look around. We'll come back to that. I want to mention a couple things. Camp video is being shown throughout our church today. If you're a guest, we are one of 10 groups, regional groups meeting throughout the metropolitan area. I definitely appreciate Ross and Russ and all their work. It was interesting because last night that video was shown to the teens at Solid Rock. Let me tell you when they cheered. Snacks in the cabin. Today the parents cheered. When did they cheer? It's going to cost less. That's just the way it is with parents and kids. It's an exciting time of the year. Russ asked that we mention, remind those in the Edge Ministry of your party coming up Saturday. You need to register today. There's no registration at the door or payment at the door. So if you haven't, please do that. And a lot of things going on. It is a very exciting time of the year. We are going to look at Acts 2 in just a minute and talk about celebrating our diversity. I would like for you to get your newsletter again for just a moment because I'd like to mention something to you, make you aware of something. I hope you know that as an elder of the church and just as a part of the church here, I love and appreciate you so very much. And you know when I say that, there's something else coming. Look for a minute over on the right-hand side of the first page, the record. Because I do need to make you aware, I know you want to be aware, of a situation with our weekly offering. I love the New Jersey region for so many reasons, and we always do respond to the challenge. 2 weeks ago, we had our community worship services. Yeah, we should clap for that, really, because that was a fantastic day. If you're visiting here, what does that mean? We didn't meet all together. We met in almost 50 different locations throughout the area of northern New Jersey and geographic groups. People came together. It was a wonderful day. Mary Lou and I were very excited that our neighbor across the street came over to our little worship service in our home. It was a fantastic day. We plan on doing that again on March 18. And then throughout 2018, two or three more times. But I want you to notice something where it says our weekly offering. It's not listed, but on 11/12, our weekly offering was about $26,000. That's about what it should be. And generally is. 11/19, it was $13,000. What is that? We didn't collect any contribution in all these 50 homes. This is what comes in each week. Those of us who give online or automatically. And that's why if you're a guest, you may notice when the basket went by, none of the staff people put any money in. Well, we all give every week. Electronically, online. I love it. My bank just sends a check every week. Doesn't cost me anything. I don't have to worry about it. So you can see almost half of our weekly offering comes online. That's awesome. But then you look at last week, $24,000. What does that say to you? We didn't make it up. What came in online came in. But if we had made up the week before, our weekly offering should have been $35,000. We need to do this. And we need you to be aware. If Let me just say it this way. For most of us, if in a week in the month your income dropped by half, you'd feel it. And this has happened pretty much every time we have the small groups. So we want to keep having these small groups. We believe this is a key to our reaching our neighborhoods, to having more regular community worship services. But honestly, we can't do it if it's going to affect our finances in such a severe way. So, you know, we've already given today. I'm going to encourage more of you to give online because it's awesome. It is just wonderful. But if you're not here or if we miss for some reason, we do ask you, please, next week, make it up. We got to do this. I know we will do this. Amen. Amen. I want you something else to let you know about that you can pray about, and then we'll get into what we're going to talk about. We're a big church. We have a big task, responsibility, opportunity to try to get the message of Jesus Christ to an amazing and perhaps the most influential metropolitan area in the world. We believe we can do a better job of doing that. You know, sometimes you get used to things, and it's good when somebody comes and looks with some fresh eyes at what you're doing. And that's happening for the leadership of the New York City Church in the next couple of days. Tomorrow and Tuesday, all the evangelists and their wives from the New York City Church are meeting. We're meeting with Doug Arthur, the lead evangelist from the Boston Church, and Kevin Miller, also an evangelist who oversaw the campus ministry for a number of years, leads the big region now. They're coming tonight to meet with our elders. Then they've already had some phone time with some of our ministry people. They're coming. We're going to spend a couple of days, and we're just going to try to be very real and let them help us see if there's some things that we're missing that we could do better. So just I'm saying so that you know we want to be the best we can be for God and for you, and we want to get some outside help and pray for us as we do this the next couple of days. Okay. We're talking about acts of faith this fall, and as the brothers got together early in the fall and started talking about the different things we wanted to talk about over the fall, somebody brought up that one week we need to talk about just kind of how amazing and marvelous and wonderful and awesome and a whole bunch of adjectives it is that God's plan is for his church to be a place where all kinds of people come together loving him and loving each other. And I believe we are that kind of group. And we're going to talk about that today and talk about some things about that. But let me set it up this way. Let me just ask you. You got a favorite food? Somebody speak up. What do you like? Oh, I hear pizza. Pie. That's a teenager. A lot of things. Okay. Buffalo wing. We're going to get hungry here. Okay. I got to tell you, I don't know if it's a favorite food, but one of my most consistent foods, I love popcorn. There are times when I go eating popcorn every single night of the week. I got home from Solid Rock last night. They let me go even though I'm old, but I have to stay with the parents. I had some popcorn. I don't know. I never get tired of it. Don't put cheese on it. Don't do all these other things on it. Just good old salty popcorn. I've been eating it since I was a teenager, and that's a long time ago. What now, though, if I had sat down at our Thanksgiving table, and there are all these covered containers, and as each one is opened, all that's in all of them is popcorn? I love it, but I would have been a little disappointed. Even if I'd sat down and there had just been turkey in every single container, I would have been disappointed. I want a little more diversity. And that's what's awesome about Thanksgiving. You got the turkey and the dressing and the sweet potatoes. And you know, because we're from a lot of different places, you bring some of the other cultural things in there as well as this. And because our son-in-law Anthony's mother was visiting, and she's Japanese. We had some homemade sushi in there. Amen. I love a diverse meal, I'm telling you. My favorite places to go eat are buffets, you know, where they got just all kinds of stuff. I think God made us to enjoy different things. And I know sometimes we get really set in our ways about some things, and don't rock me out of my little routine. But I think God made us. He made us as people to be different. It's not accidental that God made us different. And I don't mean just racially, but temperament-wise and personality-wise and a lot of different things. But I believe it is part of God's plan that we, especially in His church, get to come together from all kinds of backgrounds and differences, and we come together united by the blood of Christ. It does take faith for that to happen. It is an act of faith that we are together here this morning. Now, when you look at Acts 2, we often look over near the end in verse 42. That after this amazing day when Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and he preached really the first gospel sermon, and he really convinced at least 3,000 people that they were responsible for the death of Jesus, that Jesus had come back to life, and more than 3,000 people were baptized that day. Wouldn't you have loved to witness that? And then it says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread, to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And then he goes on and says they even sold possessions to help one another. These were people who'd come, when you go back to earlier in the chapter, from a lot of different parts of that area of the world to celebrate Pentecost. Now, they all were of a Jewish background, but they were from a lot of different places, and apparently they felt such a comradeship and a kinship that they were willing to sell what they had to help people stay longer there and know more about this. And you see this in the early church. You see over in Acts 4. Acts 4 and verse 12, no, 32. I got to look at it differently through my glasses. Acts 4 and verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. I love that. They were one in heart and mind. And these were people who had a lot of differences from each other. Now, I know you're smart enough to know they were all Jewish people, though, who had become Christians. So there was a more natural bond that they felt than perhaps we in this room could naturally feel with each other. And as time passed, though, several things happened. You know, in chapter 6, there was an issue that, in a sense, was a racial issue. Even though everybody were Jews that became Christians, the Jews, the Grecian Jews, and there was some trouble in the ranks about fairness and about whether people were being treated equally. And the apostles get together and they try to fix it. But then, you know, it has always been God's plan that Christianity was for everybody. Why? Because Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And God presented him, Jesus, as our sacrifice. It took them a little while to realize that, even though in the Old Testament, Isaiah and the other prophets had talked about They're being a light to the Gentiles, but they just didn't quite get that for a while. And so you get over to Acts 10, and a couple of things are happening. There's an Italian man who's a God-fearing man. God wants to usher in Christianity for people besides the Jews. And so he has a vision. Meanwhile, Peter is having a vision. And it's interesting because Peter, being Peter, was a little resistant to the message God was trying to give him for the initially. But the message was, God's no respecter of persons and everybody needs the gospel. So Peter preaches to Cornelius and his family. People are baptized. Peter gets called to account for this. He kind of gets in trouble for it until they begin to grasp this really is for everybody, this message. And so then by the time you get to Acts chapter 11, look over in verse 19 of Acts chapter 11. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also about the Lord Jesus, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them. A great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. This is the first very clear example of what we would call a racially, culturally mixed church. Jew-Gentile. And in verse 22, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, faith. A great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then you read he went and got Saul, who we know becomes Paul. And look at the last part of verse 26. We're familiar with this statement. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Christians. Like Jesus. I don't know who called them that. Whether they called themselves that or whether maybe it was even their critics. But people saw there was something different. And I think it's significant that what they saw different was people who normally don't come together being together. And they saw it was because of Jesus. You know, Jesus said the gospel is a net that brings in all kinds of fish. That's who we are. All kinds of fish. You can pick what kind of fish you want to be. I think the last time we had International Day, sometimes if you're a guest from time to time, we have a day when we really do kind of celebrate that God brings us all together, that God is, as we've sung, great among the nations, and he has brought us together. And Ross, I think it was, went to get some flags that people could hold up and carry up, and they didn't even have all the flags that represented where we're from. They're like, I don't have some of these flags. I think we were up to 30 or 32 nations or something just in this room. I just have to say, you know, look around. Just take a minute and look around. Whoa, La Montaña, God moves mountains. We live in a divided world. I don't think that's news to any of us. It's not new. I venture to say most of us probably grew up in a somewhat segregated world in some sense, where we grew up pretty much with people just like us. And I don't mean just racially, but culturally, economically. And even though the gospel brings us together, there's still some real issues, aren't there? that we face sometimes. You know, we sent out a survey at the beginning of the year about a lot of different things, about how you felt about different things, and we appreciate again. We'll do that again one of these days, and we're still working through as a little ministry staff talking about a lot of those things. One of those things was we don't talk enough maybe about what's going on in the real world. That's a tricky thing, but there's a lot the Bible has to say about a lot of stuff going on in our world. Racial things are real things in our world. You know, that's right. We're having Gordon Ferguson come here on February 11th. Gordon is kind of an elder statesman in our fellowship. And now, let me just say, before you think, why are we having an old white man come and talk about race? And you can tell him I said that. He's older than I, and he would say that about himself. It's because he's done a lot of study about this, and it won't be just him. It'll be a panel of people, some of you and some other people. And we'll be talking because God has a lot to say about how we need to view each other. The church is different from the world. And I love it. You know a little history. We were four and then three different groups worshiping different places. Actually, it's been 9 years ago we came together and decided we're going to be one New Jersey region. And you know what I love? One among many things about that, our little children have grown up, I don't know how to say it, except with a color blindness that most of us didn't grow up with. Because they just are, you know, everybody's just everybody in the kids' kingdom. There's a song that some of us sang in Sunday school. Let me just say right now, it's probably not politically correct, and I don't want to offend any of you, but if you know it, join in with me. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I see now who went to Sunday school and who didn't. I got a feeling, look, red and yellow, black and white, those are not politically correct terms. And I hope I didn't offend you, the song. But isn't it true? Jesus loves us. And he put us together for a reason. I love it, Solid Rock. You see all teenagers from all kinds of places, walks of life, who are learning to follow Jesus. And, you know, it's inspiring to me when I go and see all of you from New Jersey who get your kids to Lehman College on a Saturday night because we need to be together, and who get your kids to other things. You know, there's only one place in the world where true unity in diversity exists. And that's a church. It's not a sports team. I mean, they get together for a common cause on Sunday afternoon, and after that, there's not unity. It's not getting together for a work project. Mary Lou and I lived for 3 years in Columbia, South Carolina. This is about 20 years ago. It was a nice city to live in a lot of respects. Great church. We got to be on the ministry staff of. It's in the Old South. And especially when we lived there 20 years ago, the Confederate flag still flew over the state capitol. A big thing in the news was a man who looked like me, who owned a chain of barbecue places, being sued because he wouldn't allow African-American people to eat there. That's reality. Now, it wasn't the reality in the church. It was interesting because in an effort to reach out to people, I joined this community lunch group of kind of community leaders. We would meet once a month and somebody would speak and all of that. And this happened more than once. I would meet somebody and I would introduce myself. I'm Larry Craig. I'm one of the ministers at the Columbia Church of Christ. Here's the reaction I often got.
Oh.
That's the group that's, they didn't know how to say it exactly, culturally diverse. Yeah. A couple of times I got, how do you do that? This was the Bible Belt. There were no sports teams, no sports activities on Sunday mornings, no yard sales on Sunday mornings. If you tried to go to eat at a restaurant at noon on Sunday, you were in a line because everybody went to church and they'd gotten out and they were fighting each other to be in the line. I believe it's Martin Luther King that said it, the least segregated place in the world is Sunday morning and churches. And most segregated. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you're listening. And what may have been said 50 years ago is still probably true. But we've come together to be one in Christ. And it does take faith. It takes faith that we can love and even like people not like us. That we can be close to people even though we know they may not really be able to relate to our situation. Because there's some realities about that. And you know, celebrating diversity takes a lot of things. I think it takes humility and forgiveness. And it takes Jesus. That's sort of the bottom line. It takes humility. It takes humility to see your perspective and not just my perspective. It takes some humility to keep ourselves in perspective. As Paul said in Romans 12:3, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Think of yourself with sober judgment. You know, you may grow up living next door to each other and all that stuff, but I'm telling you, when you get married, you find out how diverse people are. How different we are. How we're affected by how we grew up. We are all affected by how we grew up. You know, in marriage, I mean, this isn't a marriage thing, but oh my goodness. Mary Lou and I, oh my goodness, we had so much to learn. We were 21 when we got married. I don't know what we were thinking. I'm glad we got married, but my goodness, I realize. No offense to any of you who are 21, but my goodness. You know, my mother died when I was little. My dad never remarried. I grew up in a single-parent home, basically. My father made all the decisions. There was nobody else to make decisions. I didn't know that when you had a wife, you were supposed to ask her stuff. I mean, I remember both of our families were very hospitable. We were church people, had people in their homes a lot. Mary Lou's mother was a home ec teacher, wonderful hostess and cook. And, you know, my family, we were very hospitable, but because we had no mother, we had a woman who worked for us to cook and stuff. And, you know, so my dad would tell her, I'm having so-and-so over, and you need please cook this and this and this. And he was very polite and so forth, but he was obviously in charge. You know where this is going. So I'd tell Mary Lou, we're having so-and-so over Friday night, and I think you should cook this, this, this. And I'm surprised that she's not real fired up about those instructions. And she grew up, her parents were just wonderful people. Her dad served as an elder for many years. Her mom was definitely the more, I don't want to say, stronger personality. And when they had any an upset, her mom had learned, instead of reacting, because her dad was very calm, collected, she was going to go outside and take a walk and pray. Well, we'd been married, I don't know, a month or 6 weeks, not very long. I don't remember what the issue was, but we had some kind of upset. Mary Lou opened the door, left. I'm like, have I run her off already? I mean, is it over before we've almost started? She didn't tell me that's what the norm was in her family. What I'm saying is we are very much affected in many, many ways by how we grew up. The homes we grew up in, the cultural backgrounds, the racial backgrounds, the socioeconomic backgrounds, just our own personal likes and dislikes and opinions. Those things affect us. And it takes humility to say, like 1 Corinthians 12, I'm a part of this body. And it all fits together in an amazing way, and no part's any better than any other part. It takes humility. It takes forgiveness. It takes forgiveness as we celebrate our diversity, because sometimes even because of our different perspectives, things may hurt me that wouldn't hurt you and hurt you that wouldn't hurt me. Even when we don't mean to. And sometimes I was telling somebody in an appointment the other day, very different context. I said, I had to learn. I had this script in my mind about things people were supposed to say. When I say this, you're supposed to say that. Somehow they didn't follow it. I was with Sam Powell, and he said, that's because you forgot to send it to him. That's my mistake. Life's not like that. On the cross, Jesus said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Sometimes we just say and do things we don't even know. Oh, Lord, we're sorry. But forgiveness, because we're together, we're one. And you know, it really takes just focusing on Jesus. What do we have in common? Jesus! It's not that we've all learned to like the same food, like the same songs, like the same favorite scriptures. It's Jesus. If you are a part of this church, you and I stood at the foot of the cross, at least figuratively, and we saw our sin, and we saw ourselves, and we saw on that old rugged cross what Jesus did for us, and that not a one of us is any better or really any worse than any of the rest of us. Who's the worst sinner in here? Oh, you people that grew up pagans. Well, some of us grew up real religious pagans, you know? No. We're united because we're following Jesus. And that pulls us together like nothing else. And because of that, we're united in the mission of Jesus. We're not trying to convert people to the church. We're converting people to Jesus. That makes you part of his church. That's what the Bible teaches. And we do have something to share, because the first Jesus that a lot of people see is when they come here. Look at one verse, and we're going to close, and the singers could come on up as we look at this verse. John 13. What are we saying today? By faith, we're different from the world. We're different from the world. We're trying to deal with our sinful natures. That's really what divides people from each other. The disciples were called Christians, I believe, when people saw this is unusual. Jews and Gentiles don't get together. But they were. We're united. We stay united. We stay united in differences when we have humility, when we have forgiveness, when we're really following Jesus. And you know, Jesus said, it was a very intense night. It was the night he was going to be betrayed. He washed the disciples' feet. They didn't understand what he was doing. He understood. And as he talked to them, he said in John 13, verse 34, most of us can quote this. He said, you know, a new command I give you, love one another. It's love that binds us together. the love Jesus has for us that teaches us to love each other. And then he says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's a humble, sacrificial love, isn't it? A forgiving love. And then this powerful statement, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What we have here is powerful. It's different. It's exceptional. It's fragile sometimes. But Jesus said, in our, you know, paraphrasing to today's, I want somebody, don't you want somebody to walk in the door and say, there's something different here. All these people, they seem to really like each other. Yes, because we're following Jesus. We celebrate our diversity.